Again, the notes are in the table, and they're there if you didn't receive one when you came in. Chapter 11, just one more to go. In chapter 11, it seemed like there was a singular theme, and I've made that the title, You Sow and You Reap. And we've applied that principle always in life. We're going to look at it in three ways in chapter 11. The first one is we sow and we reap when we do charity. And then the second one, on page 2, would be we sow and we reap when we live many years. And then we sow and we reap in the days of our youth. So we'll take a look at these each in turn. Verses 1 through 6 first. We're looking at charity. And I'll read the six verses first, then I'll go back and look at your notes. So beginning at verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast your bread upon the waters. You will find it after many days. Give a serving to 7, also to 8. For you do not know what evil will be on the earth. The clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the north or the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Verse 5, as you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how bones grow in the womb, a womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hands, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So number one, this is that opening phrase, cast your bread upon the waters. Interesting, so emphasize cast your bread. Yours. So I just put in, be charitable with what you have. I can't be charitable with what somebody else has. They would call that robbery, I think, or something like that. The government. You call it the government. So make sure it's your bread, whether it be little or whether it be a lot. We just cast your bread. The illustration is in other places. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, there first be a willing mind. It's accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. So cast your bread, what you have, whether little or whether it's much. But cast your bread. Ephesians 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have. I'm going to stop there. There's not a comma or a period or a space, but I just stop after that word have. So that he may have, then the next phrase is, to give to him that is in need. So we work so we can have. That's certainly a Bible principle we've seen throughout Solomon's writings. In 1 Timothy 6, beginning verse 17, those who are rich, don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And he said, let's do good. Be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, that you may lay hold on eternal life. So cast your bread on the waters. And that idea of waters is plural. Solomon's not writing as a financial planner. Some people might think, this is a lesson on diversity. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But some are talking about charity. Our giving. In verse 2, give a serving to 7. Also to 8. So be charitable in lots of places. Or as the opportunities come. Typically, the opportunities won't be singular. It's not just one thing. I have opportunities over here and here and different times come along in our life. The familiar verse, Galatians 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. I put in my notes, just thinking back through the years, look at our charity.
When Christy and I first came 40 years ago, there was a young man in the Navy named Kip Adams. When he got out of the Navy, he wanted to go to preaching school or become a preacher. So he went to Cincinnati Bible College, and we helped support a little bit with his tuition and things. And he became a preacher. He preached in Illinois and Iowa. Then there was Ted Parks. Well, he went to Southwestern preaching school in Austin, Texas, and became a preacher, still is, and went to military and chaplain, and I think he should be just about ready to retire. We helped with that. And then there were three students at Bear Valley School of Preaching that we helped. I think all three young men and their wives were from Bostonia congregation. Two of them, Turner, Max, and I couldn't remember, so I didn't write their names down.
Max and Michael.
Max and Michael. Michael just finished. That's right. Mm-hmm. And then there was one more. I couldn't remember his name. He started preaching.
James Fitner.
Fitner, that's right. Fitner. Then we also helped with Matthew Pugh. He's preaching in Syracuse, New York, or in that area. Missionaries, you always support. We cast our bread on the waters in India, Latin America, Nigeria. Orphan homes, in Oklahoma. Palmer started that one before we came, and we just continued that, and we still do. So over 40 years, we've been sending a monthly contribution to to a boys' home in Oklahoma. So we've been casting our bread on many waters. Then there's been disaster relief out of Nashville, Tennessee. There's been people that just come by that we've helped, homeless. There have been members that we've helped off and on with different needs over the years. And besides what we've done as a congregation, there's individually you have done so much, in your families, in your neighbors, in our community. So cast your bread, what we have, we've cast that on the waters many, many, many places. And it promises in verse 1, you'll find it after many days. What's the title of the lesson? Sowing, reaping. Reaping. That's right. The timeline's not given. But it says you'll find it. It'll come back. In Luke 6, verse 38, Jesus said, give. And then the next phrase. Be given to you. Oh, sowing, reaping. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. Two interesting phrases in that verse. It will be given to you and will be given into your bosom. I don't know if that, maybe there will be different returns. That return could be exactly what something may come back to us, but could be just that good feeling. Or it could be eternity. We may not see the return till then. So don't bury your talents or your treasure. Cast your bread upon the waters. Next is in verses 2 through 6. So I put in your notes, this tells us why. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to give to 7 or to 8? Wow. So Solomon says 4 times the phrase, for you do not know. 4 times just in these opening verses. All right, so here's what we don't know. And why we should cast our bread on the waters. First one's in verse 2. You don't know what evil will be on the earth. Solomon uses that term several times about the life under the sun, the evil days. Even in chapter 12, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, when you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. So that phrase, evil days, is kind of interesting. But I don't know what's going to happen when I give charity. Not always. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know how things will turn out. I may not be around to see the results. I always said that when I was teaching special ed in San Diego Unified School District. Sometimes we'd have a teacher's meeting or a seminar, and there'd be a teacher from the middle school would be there, and we'd ask, you had one of my students. And I'll ask, how are they doing? And they'll say, oh, they're doing remarkably well. And this and that. I said, well, they weren't able to do that when I had them. I had to think, well, I just sowed the seed. It's interesting, in elementary school, what you teach in September, you're still teaching in June. The same lesson over and over again. But it's set in the foundation. I don't know what will happen on the earth. Then he gives some illustrations. Interesting. In
In verse 3, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth.
So yes, there will be good and gracious results of charity. What we hand out will just, it'll just be poured out. Rain, you know, benefits all the just and the unjust. And like rain, I can't determine sometimes when and where the results of my charity will fall. I just know when I give, that certain times, that charity just empties itself. That's what we have. The next illustration is in verse 3. If a tree falls south or north, you know, some will say their usefulness is not much. You know, I put in your notes, can't go places or can't do what others are doing, so I'm not going to do anything. But Solomon says, doesn't matter. If the tree falls south or north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Every other phrase, bloom where you're planted. That's what he says. Where the tree falls, there it'll lay. Just stand your ground. You know, do what you're supposed to do. I can't maybe be everywhere, but I'm going to sow my seed. It doesn't matter if it goes north or south, but where it lands, that'll be okay. The song in our book that we used to have on sacred selections, Room in the Kingdom, one of my... The writer has captured the thought of this phrase. It says, there's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. Just a small, kindly deed that may cheer another is the work God has planned for you where you're planted. Where the tree falls, there it lies. That's right. Second stanza. Just a cup of cold water in His name given may the hope in some heart renew. Do not wait to be told, nor by sorrow driven, to the work God has planned for you. In the last stanza. There's a place in the service of God for workers who are loyal to Him and true. So can't you say to Him, meaning God, say to Him now, I'll leave the shirkers, and the work Thou hast planned, I'll do. And then the chorus, there's room in the kingdom. There's a place in the service, in the kingdom of God for you. There's room in the kingdom, there's a place in the service, there is work that we all can do. Tree falls to the north, south, north. There it lies. That's right. Next, there's another illustration I just thought about when I was reading this. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 22, there's an Old Testament story where David and the army had gone to battle and they won. So then in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 30 says, so then the men who went with David said, right, what's the army going to say? Because they did not go with us, we'll not give them any of the spoil that we've recovered, except for every man's wife and children. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so, what the Lord has given us, who has preserved and delivered into our hand the troops that came against us. But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so his part shall be who stays by the supplies. They shall all share alike. And they made it a law. Wow. Wait a minute. I went to battle. I was in the forefront. Wow. You stayed by the supplies. You're not going to get as much as I am. Well, wait a minute. David said, oh no. Stayed by the supplies. Share alike. What do you have in your hand? I can't go to battle, but can you stay by the supplies? Can you guard the supplies? Yes. So that what you can do is not sufficient. It began by saying, cast your bread on the waters. Wow. The next illustration gives in verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Put in your notes, if you wait until the weather is right before you sow or do your charity, you're not going to sow. And since you didn't sow, you're not going to reap. Yeah, it's like the farmer. Oh, there's a cloud. I can't plant today. Yeah. No, then you're not going to plant. So stop watching the wind and stop staring at the clouds and get on with your life and cast your bread on the waters.
The next you do not know is verse 5. You don't know what the way of the wind, what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who's with child. I don't. But just because I don't know the wind's starting or the wind's ending point, and I don't know the mystery of life in the womb, same thing. I don't know how my charity grows or where it's going to end up. That's something I just don't know. Orby mentioned this morning, he said, you know those outlines you print up and hand out little bullets to the Philippines and to India? Really? I remember Jeff would always say years and years ago when he said, I take those outlines to work and hand them out. I don't know where that word is going to go. I don't. Ted Parks looks at our bulletin, he uses my outlines for his sermons. Same thing with Jesse Aaron down in Texas. He recommends our website and these outlines to other preachers. I don't know where it's going to go. Your charity, of printing these outlines up. I don't know. The next illustration is in verse 5. Also, he says, so you don't know the works of God who makes everything. Right? I don't know how God will bless my charity in my life or in the lives of those that we are helping. I don't know. We'll never understand the mystery at work in all that God does. Sometimes we say providence. I don't know how I got safely this far. How did I live this long with all that I say and do? I'm thinking, surely somebody wants to get me. Wow, I don't know. I don't know the works of God. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. That's right. That we may do all the works of this law, or what God says. The next time we see that things that we don't know is in verse 6. In the morning sow your seed. In the evening don't withhold hold your hand. For you don't know which will prosper, either this or that. I don't know if the seed that I sow in the morning or the seed I sow in the evening, which one's going to prosper more. I don't. The lesson is in Galatians 6 verse 9. Let's not grow weary while we're doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. So cast your bread on the waters. Cast your bread. Whatever you have. Another song, not in our book, but remember the song, Bringing in the Sheaves? Mm-hmm. Sowing in the morning. Sowing seeds of kindness. Sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve. Waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by, the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Yes. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. The next major heading is sowing and reaping and living many years. Verses 7 and 8. Says, truly the light is sweet, eye to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity under the sun. First of all, the light is sweet. We see the sunrise, meaning we live to see another day. We greet that day with a thank you, Lord. Thank you. Many of us, we've seen many days. I've seen many days. Sunrises. Thank you, Lord. And a man lives many years, rejoices in them all. That's right. Precious memories.
recall the works that we do, the help that I just read about or said about. All those are precious memories. And because we lived rightly, we rejoice, and we're able to recall days that we have no regrets about. Our salvation has always been an occasion of joy. Thank you. We're looking down at the sod instead of up at it. Well, you see, I'd rather be seen than viewed. But then he said, oh, but yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they be many. Oh, that's right. But I have to stop and think about days of darkness. Those days don't come naturally to my memory. Well, I mean, a day of darkness. Wow. Job 14, verse 1 says, man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That'll be days of darkness. But I kind of greet every day with the idea that every day is a great day. Some are just better than others. That's right. But every day is a great day. Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70, or days of their 70 years. Reason of strength to be 80 years. Yet our boast is of labor and sorrow, soon cut off, and we fly away. Yeah. Wow. So we reap and sow if we've lived many years. Yeah, sure have. And the last one, we reap and sow even when we're young. In days of youth. Verses 9 and 10. The last. He says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Yeah. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, in the sight of your eyes. And then there's no hope. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, and I want to keep adding, while you're young, in your youth, remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Wow. First he says, rejoice. Yeah. For the young person. You reap what you sow. Rejoice. Let your heart cheer you. Walk in the way of your heart. Entertain yourself with pleasing dreams and hopes. Live your merry life. Put loose, fancy free, lighthearted. Be jovial. Be festive, unrestrained. Be glad. Indulge yourself in pleasure. The old expression, if it feels good, do it. But know, in verse 9, but know that. That word know. In other words, be certain of this. Even if when you're young, may not register yet. But be certain of this. I want you to understand. I want you to take this to heart. Get a good hold on this. The cheering and ways of your heart have consequences. Know this. For all these, God will bring you into judgment. Oh, judgment. So he says, therefore, two things. Remove sorrow from your heart. Psalm 119, verse 9 says the question, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your words. My whole heart I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You want to close with a song? I know, not the invitation song, but 432 in your book. 432. Yeah, it's coming a long time. I think Dennis Burchett led this the last time, probably a decade ago. 432. Just note the words. How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Oh, thy word. That's right. Thy word. Here's the song. Sing with me.
How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word, the choicest rule imparts to keep the conscience clean. To keep the conscience clean.
Invitation to the elect for us. Meet around in a public way, just let it be known that's